Yeah, it is soccer nights. The 2023-24 Premiership season was a pretty tough one, guys. I can tell you, for Kaizer Chiefs, it marked the club's worst campaign in PSL history. They finished 10th place. I've got to remind you of that in the DStv Premiership, with minimal wins and also a staggering 12 losses. Now tonight, we're going to be delving into the heart of South Africa's football as we explore the highs and the lows of one of the most storied clubs in our country. Now, for a decade, this giant of the game has faced the frustration of a barren trophy cabinet. But I do believe, and I do sense, and I do smell the change is in the air. With a new era that is dawning, a fresh chapter that is being written, with the arrival of a new coach, the unprecedented shift in strategy. And there has been a big shift in strategy, guys. You can't say that if you've been watching from a distance, you can't sense it. It's there. We just want to find out what it is and how far is it going to stretch. We are on the brink of a very thrilling discussion about the bold moves, the ambitions that have been set to redefine the future of this iconic club. We'll try and dissect what these changes mean for the quest to reclaim their past glory and what we can expect as well in the upcoming Betway Premiership season. And we welcome two pivotal figures who are at the forefront of this transformative journey. And do remember, guys, it is an interactive show on social media. We are saying use the hashtag AskKC. So use that. You'll sneak your way through. That's your that is almost like your presidential pass. And you'll get those questions forward. Do send us your WhatsApp voice notes. Otherwise, the number in studio is 011-883-8947. And remember, let's keep it nice, short, sharp, sweet, straight to the point. Trust me, I've looked at Jessica. She's perfect. I've looked at Kaizer Mtaung Jr. He's fine. There's no sense of chicken pox or anything that's brewing. So they are good, guys. They are good. They are good. So don't even waste 2 seconds by asking anybody how they are. Just get straight to the question. Let's try and save as much time as possible. I've mentioned their names. Jessica Mtaung is the marketing director of Kaizer Chiefs. Jess, good to see you. Welcome.
Thank you. Lovely to be here. Loving your new space.
You can breathe.
Yes. Lovely to be here. I'm enjoying it. The last time I was here, you were squatting in another section. So I'm loving the new digs.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's almost like terminology that I can almost use back and say, nice space at Naturina. Last time, it was almost like you guys were camping outside the top eight. Now you're using a different approach. Don't worry, that's not a dig, Kaizer. I am using the analogies that have been brought forward positively. I saw on the YouTube channel when you guys were launching the kit, I'd never seen anything like that. It was like a rock star scenario. There were screens all over the place. And I said, I have not seen a vibe like this at Kaizer Chiefs ever. Am I lying when I try and put it that way? And what is brewing at Kaizer Chiefs right now?
Well, I think the vibe has been there in the past. I think there's just a renewedness right now and definitely a new vibe, a new energy, so many changes that are taking place, so many new things, new people, just a whole revival of where we are. And it's so exciting. And with the jersey launch, to do it and start that at home, you know, was very important. Using the village and just making sure that all the excitement is really starting from the base. And then moving out into with our supporters, and we moved into Toyota Cup and all of the activities that we've got coming, and obviously looking to the Betway Premiership.
Sure. A lot happening within a short period of time, though, but I think a lot of people have waited for this. It might have not have happened sooner, the start of the Premiership. Sporting director at Kaizer Chiefs, Kaizer Mtaung Jr., good to see you. Welcome. I think it's your first time in these halls.
Darop, thank you very much. Feel very privileged and honored. It's my first time. I really wanted to come and have a chat with you. Just excited that I'm here. Yeah, beautiful to be here, Rob.
What are you expecting, though? Because sporting director carries a very heavy tag, and it carries the tag of somebody who directs the direction of the club in terms of where it wants to go. And the footballing side has been the one that's been lacking. You know, everybody says, okay, Jessica and her department do well. They're loving how Chiefs market themselves. But marketing without results on the field becomes problematic and it becomes worrying.
Sure.
New season, new approach, new excitement in the air. From your desk, What are you sensing? What are you promising?
Rob, I think, you know, we were promising a sense of reality, to be fair. I think that's a very important starting point for me. I think looking back, not just at, okay, well, last season was a big indicator of exactly where we were. We can't hide from the fact. And if you look back now, you said almost a decade without a trophy. Like, that's totally unacceptable for a club of Chiefs' size. So I think, you know, it's really understanding. We know in this day and age that the business is multifaceted. We understand that there. Mm. But our core business right now is to play football, win matches, get points in the bag, put trophies in the cabinet, and make Jess's life easier, you know? Mm. So I think for me, we can't shy away from the fact that we've had a complete shift. We have had real, real, real deep introspection into what are the areas that we need to work on. And like you said, you know, results on the field are everything, you know? So we put our hands up. We're accountable for the results that we have put forward so far. And we're promising, one, to be realistic and to do a proper calculated, can't say a rebuild, but we're doing a reconstruction, you know? And I think that's a good term of putting it. So, you know, I know a lot of people talk about a new dawn, a new era, but I think for us, it's really, it's a step in direction that we feel is the best for the club.
Let me step back just for 2 seconds so I get that clarity, because when I brought him in here in the studio, he couldn't answer the question, because you had brought him in at the stage originally to be the head of the academy, Kevin Johnson.
Yeah.
And then he was asked to fill in where he didn't originally want to be, and he did. Results didn't come his way.
Yeah.
And ordinarily, you would have thought, okay, he would have done a shift back to the head of the academy, which is what he came there for. But he wasn't. He kind of lost both of the jobs, and he was, you know, out of Naturina immediately. That decision, what did it take for you to reach there?
No, I think also with Coach Cav, I mean, first and foremost, the decision was literally about a change in that direction strategically, you know. And I think we, the chairman, obviously, and the board and everyone who had given the support for him to step in at the time when he did, when he put his hand up, we always applaud him, Coach Kevin. And I think it was more of a decision of, okay, fine, this is where we are right now as a club, not in a specific area, but as a club, where are the key areas where you want to take a different direction, you know. And we're also very, very grateful for Coach Kevin. For his contribution at his time when he was at the academy, and of course when he stepped forward, and of course results weren't nowhere to be, you know, nowhere where we wanted it to be. But the decision with Coach Kevin was based solely on a different strategic direction, holistically.
It would be a mess of me to restrict you only towards marketing, because I think the brand Kaizer Chiefs lives through you, whether it is about who they appoint as coach, as well as who the fans want to look out for or ask for certain things. But what do you think the fans are missing right now? Are they missing? Yes, they're missing a winning Chiefs. But what in the culture of a Chiefs that you grew up knowing are they missing the most?
I think they're obviously missing a winning Chiefs. They were missing a Chiefs of stars, of players who have a big caliber, who come in and make a difference, who have personality. They're missing a big stage. You know, they want to see the Chiefs stage for what it is, you know. And Rob, what's great with my work is that I sit on the board. And I think one of the things that was key with the board is we want to make sure that we support the business holistically. And the financial investment was very key in allowing football to do what they need to do. And in making sure, as Kaizer said, it was a holistic decision. Decisions were not made just in isolation, just looking at development or just looking at the senior team, but to say what's going to work for Kaizer Chiefs holistically. So I think it's been a very deliberate approach. And we're saying also, we're also missing a supporter who is going to support the team, who's going to inspire them as well, as much as we inspire them. So I think it's a collective journey. And that's also something we've been doing, is going around the country, speaking to our supporters, so that it's not just what's happening at Naturina, but it's all of us as the Kaizer Chiefs family making it sure that it works.
I'm glad you mentioned family. I was going to ask you a very direct question. When you hear people sometimes blaming the actual family, which is the Mutaungs, which is the irony of saying that Kaizer Chiefs is formed on the basis of the chairman, whose name is Kaizer Mutaung. And they're saying that their next generation are not living up to the standards. This is not new stuff. You're not hearing this as new from me. But how then do you show your collective insight as the younger family members to say, we want to change this narrative? We want to uphold the standards that brought the BP Top 8, the JPS, the Olsons, the Datsun, the Main State Cup, all of those trophies that are up there next to the boardroom at Natch Arena. Have you sat down outside of the chairman as the kids, if I want to call them that? You guys are very mature now. but have you sat down and had those open discussions in terms of, guys, listen, if we had differences before, we've put them aside, or let's put them aside. What are those conversations like?
First of all, I'd like to say that a lot of the South African football clubs are family businesses. People forget that. And I think a lot of South African businesses are built on families who've come in and made a difference either in the economy or in certain sectors. And it's such a privilege when you're a family and able to work together. And we've certainly, we're fortunate the fact that we can work together. And that's important. And you can see it in the work that we're doing with Kaiser. And we as the next generation felt it's important that all of us play our role. And certainly we've sat down and said, if this is going to work and go to the next level, the chairman might have started on his own. Yes, he had other siblings who worked with him, but he certainly was championing it a lot on his own. We're fortunate to have each other. And it's in a unified approach that's going to allow us to achieve and succeed. And you see all of us in our respective roles, we're very complementary to what's happening. So certainly we've had to sit down and say, if we really band together and work together, we're going to achieve a lot more. And I think that's been great for us to do. And we're excited with the way forward.
Kaiser, let me give you that opportunity, because obviously you're part of the family. You're part of the dynasty of Kaiser Chiefs. When you hear that negativity, only yourselves can correct that. Do you believe you're on the right path right now?
Drop, to be fair, right? We have to be honest, right? Everyone needs to be accountable.
Yeah.
And it's not about a family business, and it's not just about that there's family members in the roles. Us who are in the roles need to put our hands up, and if we are not doing the job that serves the people, this is a very big institution. It's not about family only, or the family, when we use the word family, it includes all our stakeholders. That's our supporters. That's our board members. That every single person, not just a South African, you know, this institution is supported by millions and millions of people globally. You know, so for us to sit down and to ever think that, you know, there's a sense of entitlement, or that we're the only ones who would have an idea or a sense of the direction the club needs to take, that'd be false, right? And we want to categorically say to all our supporters and everyone, they know that if we're not doing the job that we're supposed to do, then we won't be in the positions that we're supposed to be in. It's simple as that. You know, I think we put our hands up, take responsibility, understand the responsibility at hand, but we're here ready to serve and to do the best that we can. And if results are not coming, they're not coming. If results are coming, then they're coming. It boils down to that.
Has the financial status changed? I've never in a very long time seen Kaiser Chiefs go the way that they've done. From the head coach to him bringing his own technical team. These aren't people that are known for losing much. These are winners.
Yeah.
And they come with reputations. That is why the Moroccans and everybody else wants a piece of somebody who is part of the technical team. Tell me about what has changed in that structure for somebody's bank account or wallet to have been opened enough to give Chiefs that latitude, that freedom to go the route that you've taken with Nabi, his technical team, and some of the signings that we're going to talk about.
Rob, I think it's just a clear sort of movement and signal of intent. You know, I think that, you know, we needed a big response. You know, we saw exactly, like we said, we looked inside ourselves and saw what are the areas that needed attention. We need to be the team that people want to identify with. We want to play the kind of football that people have grown up with. Mm-hmm. And I think from the board, from all the stakeholders who are at the forefront of making things possible with the chairman on the financial side, on the commercial side, all our sponsors, I think everyone, like I said, it was a collective, sitting down, understanding what's the direction and what do we need. You know, I think it's for the first time that we've had five internationals on the bench and of that caliber. You know, I mean, I think the last time we've had, I think, two international coaches, I think it was when Ernst Mindendorp was a coach with Frank Ulberg, I think. I could be mistaken.
Mm-hmm. No, it was Messin with Ulberg.
No, it was Ernst and Ulberg. So I think it was, this is a clear sort of indication of where we want to go. And it's not about a short-term investment. That's what's very, very important. This is not about it's a one season and having a technical staff here for a couple of months and then we want to win a trophy now and we've solved all our problems. That's not also going to be a solution. So it's very much a lot of thought has gone into how long this project needs to be, very realistic on the steps that we need to take. And you've seen the steps that we've taken, and it's trying to lay a foundation, you know, step by step. What we need to change can't be changed just in one transfer window, you know. And I think it's not just about a footballing change, but an institutional change.
When you come back from the break, can I find out what the mandate is? Because I know a lot of you love that word. What is the coach's mandate? What does he need to do? When does he become fireable? Because, you know, South Africa, we love that. Even before a season has started, you know, coaches who signed up don't even get to coach because they're fired before a ball is kicked. They're fired after three games. You know, so I want to find out as well, Nasreddin Nabi and his technical team, what's going to keep them in the job? Yes, there's a clear mindset in terms of where they're taking the team. But when do the results and the silverware start to kick in?
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
All right, lots of activity happening on the YouTube channel. I can see there is more than just interest. So if you're just joining us and you've just either popped into your car, well, you can also tune into the YouTube channel. Park on the side of the road, man. Do the responsible thing. Looking at Glenn. Glenn says that core business is football this season. And with regard to the playing squad, are some of the younger players going to be loaned out so as to afford them the opportunity to play senior men's football? That is one of the questions. Says the MDC team looks pretty solid. The management needs to ensure that there is proper transition of the players from MDC to the senior team. All right, so I'll come back to a lot of those questions, plenty of them, as I said, on the YouTube channel. Otherwise, you can also catch us on the DSTV channel. Plenty of platforms that we are on. So what I'm going to do is, guys, because of the number of WhatsApp voice notes, I will fire as many. I will make notes. We'll get the answers.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. This is Pule in Pretoria. My question to Keiza Jr., is to find out from him as to why is it that most of the Kaizer Chiefs players that get loaned out, they never get to make it back to the club, and it looks like also they don't get to be used by the clubs that are loaned at. Don't they have a proper loan management system that can help them monitor these players? And then my question to Jessica is, why is that the development teams, they don't wear the Vodacom logo on their jersey, but when you look at Orlando Pirates, their teams, they wear Vodacom logo on their jersey, both the senior and the junior teams. Why did the Chiefs want to wear the Vodacom logo on their jersey? Thank you, Rob, for the great show.
Greetings, Rob and the team. My question goes to Sporting Director Keza June. Why did they hire Molly Finsegi in the first place? Because the guy had no history of being successful with any PSL team. Were they convinced that the guy can coach the biggest club in South Africa?
Hello, Rob and Amakosi there. What I would like to know from your guests is if they are aware that 9 years without a trophy for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs is a dismal performance. And if they agree to that, why are there no heads, you know, that are rolling? Because in any, you know, industry, this is very, very, you know, mediocre, and it's a failure, a huge failure of note. Why are coaches, you know, scapegoats? What about the management? Heads must roll, man. It's Nibane in Pedi.
Good evening, Robert. This is Wilson in Foslo. Rob, only two things that I have from the management. Don't they think that they need to loan out these young players to another team, and then they will come back to Chiefs very strong? Unlike now, they are doing the showboating things. We need young players like Abo Mofokeng who will contribute to the winning of the team. Secondly, they only release players who were not playing, who were not a regular in the team last season, the likes of Abo Gonzalez. And they leave players who made us to finish at number 10. Do they think that these players will change Kaizer Chiefs?
Mina Robo Benginti, I feel you will manage the league in J. Bellet and my EP team of 18 billion. Because it's over here, I call it the season. I basically mean the to take from the technical team staff and players they signed. We are happy as Kaizer Chiefs fans. I'd like to thank all the work the management put in trying to impress us as fans. And then he said, Benzilla, guys, Sabanga Kun, Konzan Shandula is there.
Good evening, Marawa, and the listeners, Jessica and Bobby. We love Kaizer Chiefs with all my our hearts, not all my heart, with our hearts. But they keep on disappointing us. They can't be telling us that they submitted an offer and then they were second late from the other teams. Kaizer Chiefs, we know they have the muscles to match in each and every team in Africa. They are the biggest team in Africa. If they want a player, they must go all out and find a player. We want that guy who scored 2 goals, Apollis. We want Apollis. They mustn't tell us that they failed next time.
The demands are there. The expectations are there. Jessica Mdaung is here. Kaizer Mdaung Jr. is here. Bobby is at home. Guys, you know what? Let's fire straight away. There's still plenty more to come. Should we start with the last one about Apollis? It's not the first time you hear a lot of the fans saying and asking and at times demanding that you go and sign him. Are you close to signing Apollis?
I think not just Apollis. I think when we began the season, we had a clear outline structure when we sat down with the technical team according to per position specific requirements. Linked to names, you know, with your first target, your second target, your third target, all the way down to a lot of targets. So, of course, he's a top player. And again, Rob, what's difficult is, I mean, we very rarely sit and speak about players who are at other teams, you know, and we do that on a, you know, it's conscious because that creates a lot of instability, you know. These chairmen from the other teams, I mean, Chairman Johnny also, I mean, these are our colleagues in the industry. You know, sometimes if we're coming out of the club speaking about their players here and there in the media, it causes unwarranted instability in the camp, you know, in the player's mind, you know. And I know our supporters also want to hear where we are. We're a big club and we want the best players. Oswin is a top talent. What we can say about him is that, I mean, I don't know any club in the country who wouldn't want to sign Oswin, you know. So what we're trying to do as best we can is to fulfill not just only on what the supporters want, but we know we need to get the best talent and we need to achieve our goals. So we want to bring top players. So what I can say is he's a top player and we're working tirelessly to make sure that we can bring top players to the team.
Like him.
We'd love to have him, you know. I mean, we have said it before. We'd love to have him. We've had talks with the chairman from Polokwane City, not just only about Oswin, other players also. And I think it's a process that's ongoing, you know. And I understand when coaches get frustrated from other teams if clubs are mentioning their players everywhere in the media. Yeah. So we respectfully don't do that. It doesn't mean that in the background we're not working as hard as we can to make sure we bring these top talents
to the
club.
You've been going to Angola now. I mean, that has been prime. Inesho has come through.
Yeah.
Miguel,
he's
sung the praises of not only the league, but for the club, you know, Kaizer Chiefs. What are your expectations and who was it? Apparently it was yourself that had spotted him playing for Pedro.
Yeah. Miguel's a top individual before I start about qualities. You know, I think the step we're trying to take also is we're trying to go a bit in depth with, we spoke about what are some of the things that are causing us to be where we are?
Yeah.
Mentality, culture. You know, character. We need a character, you know, and if you look at him, apart from his attributes on the field, apart from the fact that, you know, he's a serial winner with Pedro, spent time in Europe, he's been with Braga before, he's a leader, you know. We wanted not just only the footballing attributes, but also the attributes that are going to contribute to a winning team, you know. And he's a serial winner. And I think also we were looking, and Pedro is a very great club. I think that we, Jess will elaborate, we're trying to also form a bit of a partnership with them because they attract also great talent into the continent, have a great pathway into Portugal. And I mean, we shared some conversation with their sporting director, Mr. Bruno, and Jess also spoke to the president of the club. With Miguel, we know the kind of the game model the coach wants to approach the game in. And I think that also has informed every decision right now. You know, the coach is very clear on how he wants to play. And I've said it before, there's a lot of alignment in terms of the brand that the fans want to see and the principles of play that the coach is adopting. So he fits exactly into a comfortable right back, a comfortable center back who can play actually right back or defensive midfielder, comfortable on the ball, very aggressive. He's a leader, he talks. So and I think his personality in the change room within the structure at the back is going to be a big plus factor. And like you said, we were monitoring other players actually in Pedro. We actually identified a different centre back before on the list, and we're very, very, very privileged and happy to be able to bring him on board.
Right. I'm quite interested and intrigued now. You know, you talk about partnerships, you talk about deals with Pedro, which is going to be in alignment with Kaizer Chiefs. Expand on that, Jess. What's that all about?
I think very important, obviously, with my work on the continent, there's access to a lot of the chairmen and relationships at an ACA level and also just engaging at a CAF level, which allows us to really explore relationships there. And we're very lucky to have a good relationship with the chairman of Pedro and engaging them potential things and opportunities around player engagement, but also brand building opportunities. And I think for us, one of the clear things we want to do also is play on the continent. You saw the Toyota Cup is an intentional effort to say, how do we grow our brand on the continent? How do we bring other African clubs to play in South Africa? And that's part of the strategy, is that we are collaborating also with other clubs, because as we grow, other clubs are growing as well. And as they grow, there's a lot of exchange that we can have. Also, Rob, I think what's important to say about the work that the footballing department has done is that they are trying to really negotiate in good faith, you know, and people must understand we don't negotiate on our own here. The other clubs must also be willing to sell, must be willing to negotiate. And also we're competing in the market. Other people compete and also want the players that we're looking for. So it's not that we don't want to deliver or are out there to fail. And I say to our supporters, understand that the guys are negotiating good faith and making sure that they get the players that they can get. But what's great is that we're speaking to clubs on the continent as well as in South Africa who are willing to listen and willing to negotiate. And that's exciting for us.
Right. We're going to mix calls. We're going to mix some of your WhatsApp voice notes. We're going to go to the YouTube channel as well. Maybe before I go to Sia in Gqeberha, let me take the one that Bule had asked about, you know, the DDC team, I think your development team not wearing Vodacom as opposed to your opponents, Orlando Pirates, who do the same. Is there a shift? Is there a different strategy?
No, I think that they are just different contracts and different rights packages. In fact, if you look at it, they're on the sleeve of the development jersey. So it allows us to also get another sponsor who can be on the jersey. It just happens to be how our deals are structured. As much as we have the same sponsor, we have different deal structures. And for us, they are on the sleeve of the Development Academy.
So would Pirates be getting more money then?
I'm not sure about that. I can't speak to the Pirates' contract, but I can say to our contract that we're grateful for the relationship we have with Vodacom and their investment in the club. And these are the people also, our sponsors are very key, like Kaizer say, in making sure that we can make an investment back into the team and into making sure we get the right players. And I think there's also been a clear financial management process to make sure that we can do that.
All right, you're going to get to the other questions. I know Wilson, everybody else had asked about Bulifinseki, the loan of youngsters. Trust me, we'll get through all of the questions. Let me go to Gqeberha. Sia, good evening.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the management at Kaizer Chiefs. Let me go straight to it. I think, firstly, let me say this. Kaizer Chiefs supporters have been doing their part. They've been buying the merchandise and they've been going to the stadium. And unfortunately, when we are not happy, Rob, we're not going to sit and keep quiet. We're going to voice our opinion. But that does not mean we don't love the team. It's our job as supporters also to voice our opinions when we are not happy. Same as now, we are happy, we are voicing our opinion. So well done to USG and the football, you know, side of things for doing what we've been asking, you know, taking football decisions, bringing a proper technical team and, you know, bringing players and Utera, who's the chief scout. So well done to the SG. We have not been happy in the past years. You know, but it seems as if Kaizer Chiefs management are trying to correct, you know, those things. Hence, we as supporters, you know, we are happy and we'll always beg the Kaizer Chiefs. But one question or two. One, Cruz is gone, which is the assistant coach. And I think UNAP was supposed to come with Mark Round, a video analyst. Are they going to replace those people? Because I think the Kaizer Chiefs need, you know, a stronger technical team because of what happened in the past few seasons. And also, are we going to sign, you know, at least one striker? Because the Kaizer Chiefs last season scored less than 35 goals. And for a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, it can't be that.
All right, let's leave it there. All right, thanks so much. Let's leave it there so we can try get the answers. I think it's directed to you, Kaizer.
Yeah.
I think let's start off with the striker. Are you going to get a striker? Is that on your radar?
Definitely on our radar. We're looking for, the transfer window is coming to the close on the 20th. We're hard at work and we're not just going to sign anyone for the sake of signing anyone. So we've looked at many, many candidates and I think that process is ongoing, and I think it is an area where we want to definitely strengthen, that's It's a no-brainer.
There was an on and off thing. You know, you were hard at camp in Turkey. Mm. Then there was an issue about Cruz being there. Then he was not going to be there. The Moroccans wanted him. Then it wasn't the case. Then he was at Naturina. Mm. And then now he's gone, right?
Well, you know, with Coach Fernando, he's a top coach. And, you know, obviously with when you have technical staff of that nature, and when there's so much interest in them, I mean, it just shows you the caliber of the people, you know. So we also, from our side, you know, if the Moroccan Royal Federation comes and says, listen, this is a person that we'd like to bring on board, as a club, we're not going to stand in anybody's way. You know, we've been very privileged to have coach with us. And I think it just shows the kind of caliber of technical staff that we want to bring on board.
Mm-hmm. See, he's gone.
Well, coach is in Europe right now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we'll be announcing the final sets. I mean, we made an announcement last week, you know, about the offer. There's a few administrative things that need to be sorted out first. And when the time comes through, I think we'll be able to elaborate more.
Does Arthur's want to come in any form, shape or manner? Because it has been reported that he might find his way back.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. You know, and I think sometimes that's the challenge because, you know, we're not always sitting here with you having the discussions, answering the questions. And, you know, also for us, when someone, you know, says something on social media, the way, you know, the way that people can just pick that up and run with it, it also causes sometimes unnecessary energy around the team. Mm-hmm. But with Coach Arthur, Coach Arthur's a senior academy coach. He's there at the academy side. I think the project and the program that they've put together next door is well underway. And there was no truth to that at all.
All right.
Is that we've got such an integrated system that obviously the coaches engage and collaborate with each other because the game model's got to actually align, you know. Mm. So that's the nice thing, is the ecosystem works well together, and it's great to see the coaches all interacting at the village.
All right, Smonke in Mpumalanga. We've also got Menzi in Eswatini. Jeez. Hey, we're getting calls from all over the place. Huh? Yes. Kaizer Chiefs, first one Quebec, and next one Mpumalanga, Eswatini. So welcome to it, guys. We're going to head back, take a quick break. The one thing that we negotiated, we've got a match commissioner that is here in studio. And you know how quickly this hour flies by, guys. So we have to admit that it was never going to be enough for everything that we have to cover. So with the agreement of both Jessica and Kaizer, you said maybe first half of extra time you might, and then you might leave.
I'm feeling fit.
I'm feeling fit.
Okay. The hamstrings are strong.
Oh, so you see, guys, after the top of the hour, the show will continue on the YouTube channel. So don't go anywhere.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW. Wednesday nights, soccer nights, your nights.
Good day, Jessica, and also Kaizer Junior. My name is Giorgio from the Eastern Cape in Port Elizabeth. I want to find out if the team is interested in a striker by the name Mayela and also Apolis. If that is true, I want to find out why are we not getting those two players. Is it financial problem, or are you guys struggling to get the players due to other problems? Thank you so much.
Good afternoon, Rob, and good afternoon to the Mutaunga family. My question is that why there's such a huge gap between the club, which is Kaizer Chiefs, and its supporters? Because you often hear players and members of the technical team from other clubs attending radio interviews, for instance. But at Kaizer Chiefs, we don't see that happening. So, and I don't understand why. And I heard also different journalist saying that they do send a request to Kaizer Chiefs, but it looks like Kaizer Chiefs is not willing to send their people to attend those interviews. So I just wanted to find out why is Kaizer Chiefs doing such a thing. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mr. Marawa and Sis Jess no Abu Timtaung. Stelu Puza, man. Apolis in Dabayak, what's happening in Dabaka Apolis? We've been crying as our fans. It's not like Chiefs doesn't have money. They do have money, so still you guys would say, why bang a sign in my player to the Skalanga as my fans? And this as you would say, isn't they right? So why can't they sign those players?
Hey, Mr. Marawa, hope you're a pillar, Baba. Hey, I'm going to be a little lapo. kuKezia Junior noJessica. Umbuzo wami uyi-1 nje kuphela. Sosithola assistant coach entsha noma kuzoyenzakalani. Khona i-assistant coach ezayo. Enongibongele futhi kuyena uJunior ukuthi hayi muhle umsebenzi uyabonakala kule transfer window. All the best. Marawa.
Yeah, my name is Opa. First and foremost, at least on behalf of Kaizer Chiefs supporters, I want to sincerely thank the marketing and sporting director for being such a great leader. We as Amakhosi faithfuls, we want to let you know that your hard work and determination don't go unnoticed. We only have one request for you. Please get us Napolis and that pyramid striker, then we are good to go.
Hi, Bra Rob. This is Tumsani Ponoyi here in Cape Town in the Mother City. I'm a Kaizer Chiefs fan. I would like to find out, Mr. Marawa from the SD, that is it possible if they will sign Oswin Apolis as a Kaizer Chiefs winger? I thank you.
Good evening, Ms. Marawa. Mr. Kaizer Mtaung Jr., you are doing a wonderful job at the club together with your other directors and management. We are happy with what we are seeing. You are making a very good effort in trying to make our club return to its former glory days. Mr. Mtaung, my question is, how far are you with the negotiations to get this Apolis guy from Polokwane City or this Velebai guy from Cape Town Spurs? Thank you, Ms. Marawa. Edgar from Polokwane.
Good evening, Robert Marawa. Speaking to Lenga Malindis. Modis of Water, original from Kopan. Rarop, can you please ask Kaizer Mtaung Jr. that as a sporting director, if he see that things is not going his way, the way he's working, is he going to step down and look for the right person to run the team? Thank you very much, Rob, after a long time.
All right, plenty of questions, guys. As I said to you that we will be running into extra time after hitting 7 o'clock, we are live on the YouTube channel, we are live on the DSTV channel, we are live on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, Sowetan Live. We're live wherever you are, basically. Just switch on whatever it is that you need to switch on. We're also taking your calls at 011-883-8947. We're coming to you, Sbonke in Mpumalanga, Menzi in Eswatini. Please don't drop the call. Let's rattle through those questions, guys. I hope you appreciate the magnitude of where these come from. And they come from a very good place. All of them.
Exactly.
Let's start off with something maybe that might have peeved you as you were listening. Media interviews, not attending. What is the policy there? Because that was from, I think, Jojo.
I was quite surprised by that, Robert. I mean, first of all, we have open media days, media there. I mean, we had a beautiful open media day today, and it's not even our home game. Obviously, important with the start of the Betway Premiership, we wanted to speak to the media and get to our supporters. But also, we're the one team that goes to interviews. We go to community radio stations. We do activations. And also, we make sure that we're accessible to our supporters. And I think that that's something that that's important for them to know. Maybe some radio personalities may complain because we don't come enough times, but we can't also hog the space. I mean, football is also there for other teams. And I think also our supporters must understand we hear them, we listen to them, but also they need to trust us in being able to do the work we need to do. And I think what's also important moving forward, you know, as we move into this this season, it's critical that our supporters, even in their passion, and we love that they're passionate. I mean, I love what I'm hearing here, the passion, the knowledge of the game, the suggestions. I mean, we're constantly listening on social and everywhere, but we also want them to behave well in the stadium. You know, that's a very important thing. We have started a great foundation. We don't want to have missiles or things thrown into the stadium. This is about really making sure that this new premiership is really well represented, and also that the Kaizer Chiefs brand is well represented by our supporters. And I think also talking about listening to our supporters, I mean, some of the decisions we made over the last few years, we listened to them. They asked for particular coaches, they asked for certain players, they got them, and the results didn't come. So it's not that we don't listen, but I think on the media front, we make ourselves very accessible to media. We're right here. I mean, I'm glad to be coming here for the second time. We make sure that we have our media channels available. We also use our platforms. And most importantly, we go to radio stations that a lot of the clubs don't go to. And I think that's really great because we get to connect with supporters who are maybe not listening on the commercial stations.
And Jess, if I can, just on point, sorry, Rob.
No,
I
mean,
I think the caller also said, why is there such a big gap between the club and its supporters?
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily also referencing media. And if you look at the hard work that our supporters club does, on the ground, engaging with supporters, spreading the message out, talking about the club's plans, trying to be innovative, bring our offerings, keep them close. I think that that is a big plus that the club does. You know, so I think connecting with supporters is in many ways. And I think on that front, the club really has a front foot forward.
And we're going to continue to do more. I mean, we're open to the suggestions. But like Kaiser said, we've just had a whole reactivation of our branches and going into the communities and really engaging over the preseason. People don't know about it, but we've been advertising it and things like that. And we continue to engage.
And Rob, another thing is, talk is also cheap sometimes. So they want us to do our talking on the field. Mm. You know, we'll come here and sit and talk. They'll be like, why are these people talking so much? Yeah. If you don't talk, but the club's not talking. At the end of the day, Rob, it's a fine balance, you know, and we are committing to put our front foot forward with the supporters. And, you know, they're the most important stakeholder for us as an organization. You know, we have many, many important stakeholders. Our sponsors are huge for us, but our supporters are everything. You know, they're our lifeblood. So it's a balance. And I could bet you if we were celebrating a league title last year, I don't think you'd get that question about the big gap between us and supporters, because
you know where you spoiled yourselves, guys, and this is something that you've addressed as a team collectively before, and you said you're not going back into that structure, that formation, is when you had people as great and as colourful and as flamboyant as a Louis Chakwane and as a Patko Mafani.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People saw that as a link between club and fans and back to the club. So I think it is probably post that, in the same way I say about the Premier Soccer League at times, and I say maybe the lack of the voice is because we were so used to an Andrew De Pila stepping forward, talking to us, you know, via these mediums to the people, and people feel, oh, we don't hear much from them, so what is going on, you know?
True.
There would have been only one Trevor Phillips, for example, who was boisterous enough to say, yeah, bring it on. Whoever wants to talk to me, I will talk to them. So I think fans live on the back of a historical event, like you've had the colourful PROs that have given them that, oh, no, all is well. They're reassuring us. We can go to Motsweding FM and you can listen to him and he says, oh, no, all is good. We're going to be signing so-and-so. You've heard Apollos. We could name this Apollos FM. Let me go to Sponke in Mpumalanga. Sponke, good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Darop?
Thank you, man. Appreciate your patience. Go ahead.
Okay. My quick question, Darop. I am a proud Orlando Pirates supporter. So why, when I think it's Cruz, left Kaizer Chiefs as an assistant, they brought back Atazwane, as we've seen on the social media. So as a Pirates supporters, we miss the competitive Kaizer Chiefs. Our neighbors, we miss you as a competitive team in the pitch, not...
But
Sponke,
so before you allow that narrative continue, did you hear what Kaizer Mtaung Jr. said about Atazwane, that he's not coming back into that position?
Yes, I hear that he said Atazwane is not coming back to the position, but their supporters are very much big on mouth on the social media. So we miss the team on the field, a competitive team on the field. Kaizer Chiefs on the field must be competitive. Not be on a number 10 and whatnot. No, we miss a Kaizer Chiefs that will be competitive on the games.
So you feel that as Orlando Pirates, you've gone way far now. You would love Chiefs to catch up.
Yes, I'd like to see them competing with us and Sundowns. Not to see them going down to position 10, position 11 and whatnot, struggling to be on the top 8. No, that's a very boring league, actually. So you miss a competitive Kaizer Chiefs as Orlando Pirates supporters.
Okay, Sponke, thank you so much. I'll allow them to answer in just a second. I've never heard of that. I mean, imagine Man City supporters saying, we miss a competitive Man United. Please start winning games, Eric Ten Hag. Menzi in Eswatini, good evening.
Evening, Prarob.
Welcome, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm Menzi Sbia, all the way from Eswatini. I'd like to thank the management as a whole of Kaizer Chiefs for the big signings that they have done so far and for the beautiful kit that they launched. I have the new kit with me now in my closet.
Why in your closet? Lastly, why aren't you wearing it as you're making this call?
I'll be wearing it on Saturday.
Ah,
when we pick up the 3 points.
Yo.
So Kaizer and Jessica, please, guys, don't forget about the Swaziland branch. We still need the membership cards for our team, our beautiful team.
All right.
Come end of the season, I know we'll be the champions, league champions.
Menzi, Make sure your jersey's ready, man, for the weekend. Buhle's in Midrand. Buhle, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Morrow. Good evening to the Kaiser Chiefs leadership. As soon as I saw the post today that you got these two lovely human beings, I'd done my prep. So I've got a question for you guys, so please just bear in mind whilst I read it out. So I said to that Kaiser Chiefs has a legacy that is deeply embedded in South African football culture. But like many great clubs globally, it seems like we've reached a point where traditional models are being challenged by new innovations. In markets like the US and Europe, teams are evolving to offer more than just the game. There's a push for fans to have an experience in and around the stadium using technology, entertainment, and community outreach to boost stronger connections within the club. With the given challenges such as stadium attendance, safety concerns, and maybe an oversupply of games in South Africa, I think there's an opportunity to rethink how we attract and retain our fans. So the question to the leadership is Kaiser Chiefs considering adopting a more holistic approach to its business model, one that focuses not on just what happens on the pitch, but the overall match day experience? And how do you see the club adapting to these modern approaches that we're seeing in Europe and all over the sporting world to ensure long-term success, both financially and in terms of performance?
Are you looking for Wi-Fi at the stadium, Buhle?
No, but something, more than just a match day experience. You know, I think sometimes we're living in a country where going to the stadium is a lot of money for some people. So you'd like to have, value for your money, maybe bar from the pitch, you know, collaborating with musicians, just having a good family day for fans and spectators.
I love that, man. Thanks for a well thought out presentation, Buhle. Wow. I mean, I love that. I appreciate it. All right.
So thank you.
Okay, switch on to the YouTube channel because after 7 o'clock, we're not disappearing. It is top of the hour. Jessica Mdaung, Kaiser Mdaung Jr., they're both in studio. The conversation continues on the YouTube channel.
On Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Voice of the Sunday Times sports editor and also soccer columnist and podcaster BBK Gorgias.
There's no point in you scoring goals and also letting them to come in. What we did in Ivory Coast was no fluke. There is no way that we should not be in Morocco this time around next year.
Is that South Africa now sit second to Uganda? They tied on points, so it's just a matter of goal difference. Exactly what are you talking about?
Hugo Bruce and Elman Mkelele, what do we learn from these two matches? We need to be able to put aside diplomats and make decisions that are for the benefit of the team. We have got that poll now coming up with China. You've got your Apollos that you've already mentioned. Your Lebo here, the President Doma 2000 Maton, is able to come off the bench and impact the game.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
It is hashtag MSW. Thank you so much for staying with us on the YouTube channel. We see you. We see the comments. Keep tracking with us here because we are on a journey. Kaiser Mdaung Jr., Jessica Mdaung are both here in studio representing Kaiser Chiefs in their capacities. And you know what? We are inundated with questions. And why not? That is the whole purpose of why we have this session. And I think it's being appreciated by both of them in terms of the quality of the questions. It's not just, you know, blow in the air type of story. It is well thought out. It is considered. And I think a lot of people speak from the heart, out of concern. And yes, you've said it. You've nailed it. You've nailed it to the mast. Now we want the questions coming through. Buhle, we just sat down, guys. You know, he gave us the State of the Nation address. We appreciated it. And he says that the world of football internationally is evolving.
Yes.
And he would want a different match day experience. So you picked up on that. And I could see you were moved by what he was saying.
No, thank you so much for the question. I mean, and thank you for him being so deliberate about it. And exciting for me because that is exactly what we're trying to do. I've just come back actually from the UK, attended some games, attended the Chelsea Man City game. I was fortunate enough. I've worked with Donna, who's number two at Tottenham, to get a full tour and an understanding what Tottenham has done with their stadium and just really understand where the match day experience is. And that's something we've been talking to our stadium management with about, around how do we really make sure that the experience is beyond what's happening in the 90 minutes. And that's critical. How do we bring in Wi-Fi? One of the things we've been deliberate about is bringing a family zone. You know, that's important for us. People bringing their kids, having a good experience, and really making sure that we're providing facilities for different tiers of supporters. Very important for us, looking at how we make it easier to get into the stadium, how we make it easier for people people to exit the stadium. So I'm very excited that our supporters are thinking of that, and I want to assure them that that is something we're making sure we take very seriously. And I think it's not just a Chiefs issue, it's a PSL issue. I think it's important that we, as the PSL and members of the PSL, lift the game across the board. So even when our supporters go to an away game, they have a great experience as well. Because at the end of the day, we want a league that attracts sponsors, supporters across the board, delivers value. So they'll see some exciting stuff coming out this season.
And Robert, if I add on that point, I mean, I know Jess would talk to it again. I think it's also very much needs a lot of collaboration. I mean, if you look at match day experience, part of the reason why you find and you see the fans in the White Hart Lane or Tottenham Stadium or in the Emirates Stadium is because, you know, the game's on televised at that time when kickoff happens, you know. So you're going to need a partnership between the PSL, the clubs, you know, the ecosystem as a whole in some areas. So it's not just only club specific, you know. So it's a much broader discussion. And I think the plans that Jess and them have been wanting to put in place and are looking to put in place are going to be very exciting for our supporters, most definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, you guys have always been known, you know, as being leaders. So if you're not leading on the field of play, which you've all admitted is what you're trying to correct, but you've also led in terms of innovation. So if your innovation takes you there, whatever the clubs do, they can always follow. So if you're able to give clubs, you know, free Wi-Fi, and you know how we all struggle when you get to the stadium, there's just something, I don't know if people bring, you know, signal jammers or whatever it is, but we always seem to struggle with network when you get to a stadium.
Now, something that we're addressing, and we've talked to stadium management about it. The other thing is I'm glad to see even clubs like Pirates are bringing in a family zone.
Yeah.
It's important, you know, and I'm hoping that that becomes a standard for other clubs so that families are brought back into the game. Because a lot of the time parents are saying, I'm uncomfortable bringing the kids. There isn't an area where they can play or be comfortable. Areas for teenagers, you know, where they have different interests. So I'm looking forward to some of those.
We led with the family zone.
Oh, definitely,
and they followed.
Definitely. But I'm excited that they're doing it because I think
the league has to improve.
The league is definitely bubbling
out. The league has started.
The derby is starting indirectly here in the studio.
And there's certain things that other clubs are doing that we maybe need to look at. But certainly I think we try to lead in the space of what's happening in the stadium, what's happening off the field. And we look forward to the feedback. You know, once we try things, we're also going to ask supporters to tell us, are they enjoying this? And if there's anything else they want to see at the stadiums, it's important. But like Kaiser said, it's collaboration. It's collaboration with sponsors. I mean, for us, we have a Toyota Zone, for example, where people who have Toyotas can come and park for free.
Oh, nice.
We work with the city also. So a lot of the cities we work with to make sure the traffic is managed and make sure that there's access and parking. And it's very nice to see what's happening in rugby. I'd love to see a lot of support also for football in terms of easier transport and access. So it's not just relying on the teams. It's really holistic partnerships that are going to say sports and sports tourism and what sports brings to certain environments. How can we make it easier for supporters to get to the game?
One of the things that they need is results. I said before the earlier ad break is that South Africans love something as simple as what is so-and-so's mandate. Have you set one for your coach?
We've definitely set, and we know exactly the direction we're taking. What I can share is, you know, we're very, again, realistic about where we want to go and where we are. You know, so with the signings we've made, it's been quite clear and deliberate. If you look, most of it, everyone's asking about a striker. We've been building from the back. You know, we had someone very influential who's just sort of vacated a playing role in Itumeleng Kune. So one of the very first starting points was we need to reinforce the goalkeeping area. You know, we've bought two centre backs, we've brought in two left backs. I think we've signed seven players this season. So it's been very calculated in the steps progressing up for our spine. So I think the coach is definitely at a space where he's coming to transform the mentality, the culture, obviously the way of playing. And of course, you know, we're a big club. We know we have big ambitions and what is the responsibility is ahead of us in terms of trophies and titles and where the club has been. So we are taking it a step at a time. I think the coach is very clear on his deliverables. He's very clear on his non-negotiables. And how we want us to approach the market and how we want to approach our short-term goals. But we share with the supporters, we're going to give everything we can to make sure that they see us, they see themselves in us, in the kind of football we play in the field and how we conduct ourselves, the mentality. So I think it's a tough question because people always want a clear answer. You know, what I can say is that we're in a direction where we are going to bring happiness, but we're looking for a long-term sustained happiness, not just about we won a Carling Cup and then we struggle. So and we're trying to put the foundation in place.
Yeah. And I think to support Kaiser here, we also brought winners. We brought people who are competitive, who want to make a difference and who want to do well. You know, we didn't bring coaches who were saying, okay, even if we just make it here. But certainly what we're doing here is not short-term success. It's about long-term success, but it's very clear that obviously we want success.
Sure. All right. I'm reading on social media here, Twitter, X. Soul says that I've got a 6-year-old and a 15-year-old boy. They asked me why I support and why my house is the Kaiser Chiefs house. It says, can Jessica respond to them? Because my son's response was that history is not the presence as the 9 years without a trophy means that club is holding on to has been. So he's talking about the history and why that hasn't translated into any victory. I think you've kind of all approach that. The one that I wanted to know about was, and this is a fair one, Nlibane says that what are they doing about the poor game attendance in Gauteng province? FNB is always empty. Can they tell their fans or their findings? What are you guys finding? Because, you know, we're looking at bums on seats.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, it's more seats available for bums to be on, you know? Traditionally, Kaiser Chiefs, whether you were playing back then, didn't matter who you were playing. Mpumalanga Black Aces, there would be fans. There would be fans playing against any team from Cape Town. What are you doing as a turnaround strategy?
Look, I think, Robert, you also have to look at then there was football only on weekends. You have to look at the fact that we have a big stadium. We're not sitting in a 40-seater or a 30-seater. We're sitting in a huge stadium. Mm-hmm. And also you have to look at many factors, the timing of games, the fact that the games are broadcast at a certain time. But certainly also, I mean, I think results have had an impact in certain cases. But we are, again, working towards the match day experience, creating that excitement, making it more accessible to people. And there's a lot of factors around it that we're going to obviously make sure that we get supporters into the stadium. Mm-hmm. And in terms of history, I think history is important. I think even the top league clubs in the UK have not won leagues, but have maintained a level of success and support base. But certainly we want the new generation, and that's why we're appealing to the families and all of that. And there's a lot that we're doing to make sure we're bringing young people into the game as well, keeping the brand fresh and really making sure we engage with them also in their spaces, you know. But certainly the history is important in propelling you to the future. And I think what's great is his 9-year-old, his 5-year-old, they'll see a new future with Kaiser Chiefs.
You made a hint. I've seen it maybe on social media written in different ways. I always love, guys, and I think between the two of you, you know I love honesty. And let's speak honestly about one of your long-standing servants, Itumeleng Nkune.
Yeah.
Is he ever going to get back into Nach Arena? Is he ever going to don the Kaiser Chiefs jersey?
So, I mean, I think the club was very honest in terms of the communication and how we addressed the Kosi faithful at large when he signed his last year, last year contract. I think everyone can agree that what he's achieved with this club is remarkable. You know, I think his story is something that is very inspirational. And I don't think, I think it's a big yardstick to anybody coming now if they can achieve what he's achieved.
Mm-hmm.
I think from a playing perspective now, as you've seen with bringing in Fiacre, you know, we're looking towards the future, you know, and I think Itu is unbelievably special to the club. And we, as a club, would never say, you know, anyone needs to retire. It's a very personal decision. Whatever direction a footballer goes, I mean, I've been there myself, you know, for footballers, it's never over in your mind, you know. And obviously, you know, the club has said, okay, well, look, Itu, for us, you know, we're looking at a different role. And I think Jess will be able to elaborate more in a direction for the contribution that you've made to this team and what that looks like in the future, you know. So from a playing perspective, I think that we have, you know, a really, really solid goalkeeping department at the moment in time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's looking at that next trajectory, that next phase, and how Itu can be able to contribute to this massive brand.
So just going back to my question, so he would never wear a Kaiser Chiefs jersey again?
Well, I'm sure he's probably wearing one right now.
I mean, he's at home, he's roaming around,
you know, he's probably wearing one right now. Yeah. You know, so I think I think from our department, in terms of the personnel of the season, we have our four keepers. Yeah. And I think the announcements and everything else will come through on what the next steps are.
I'll engage Jess on that. I just want to finish off the footballing side as well. Yeah. So what are you saying as Kaizer Chiefs is that the contract with Itumeleng Khune came to an end?
Yes.
It has ended?
Yes.
There is an opportunity for him to venture into something else outside of playing football?
Yes.
Has he indicated to you, as the club that has been with for so long, whether he's interested in the other offer or maybe he's interested in playing football, but not necessarily for Kaizer Chiefs? He wants to go to maybe a Marumo Gallants. He wants to go to a Chipper United. Anything. I mean, has he indicated what he intends to do?
I think E2 loves the game. He loves the team. He loves the supporters. And I think he's a Kaizer Chiefs. Of course, he's through and through. You know, I think it's very hard for us to see E2 in any other colors except gold and black. You know, and I think, again, back to the question of, you know, when you've been at the top of your game for so many years and you've been with this massive brand, whatever decision lies now is not going to be an easy one. You know, but one thing for sure is that he's Makosi for life. And I think the next role, I think, would just be another step in where he contributes back to the game, back to the fans, back to the club. And I'm excited for the new step.
Jess, I'm coming to you. Give me 1 second. One more on the same issue.
Yes.
Because I want clarity on this.
Yes.
So let's say he says, I don't want the other offer now. I would love to go play another season elsewhere. Would the offer that you're giving him now of elsewhere still stand when he comes back from playing for another team?
E2 is a club legend. Mm. You know, the door's always open for E2. The door's always open for you know, if it's one club in the PSL that has that door open for legends, for former players, I think it's ours. You know, if you look at just the personnel within the club, the personnel around the club, around our youth structures, around the first team structures, I think that the team in that respect really does very well. But I mean, E2 is a club legend and the door will always be open for him.
Jess, let's get to you. What does that offer to him?
And a very special person to the club. I mean, Itu for me is like a young brother to me. So someone who I've seen his career flourish. And the offer to Itu obviously is to work with us at a marketing level, from an ambassadorial level. You've seen it happening with the Dwight Yorks and all the players internationally. In fact, I've been speaking to some of the clubs to understand how they do their programs with their ambassadors. And these are the offers that we're starting to talk to Itu about and engaging on. And hopefully there's a great opportunity for him to take it and move with us and evolve and we create a new model that hasn't been done before in South Africa. So certainly the discussions will be ongoing, and once we've reached finalization, we'll be able to chat. But certainly there are discussions that are happening around.
Mm-hmm. But this season, I mean, since the new regime came through, he hasn't been to the village, I'm assuming.
No, he hasn't been to the village, but there have been discussions behind the scenes. There have been discussions off-site, and we continue to engage on that. And I think it would be a loss if Itu isn't with the Chiefs family, but he'll always be part of us. And if he were to choose another direction, like Kaizer said, I mean, that door will be fly open because he is just such a legend of Chiefs. And you see, we are committed to our former players, like Kaizer said, either with them working around the team. And also look at our Legends program. I mean, we're one of the teams that are very deliberate around supporting legends and allowing them to play or to do speaking engagements. I mean, a testament to that is the Toyota Cup curtain raiser. I mean, you saw the star-studded team we had there. And also just even acknowledging the Celtics legends and people who've contributed to the game. So certainly we honour our legends and we'll continue to do that. But certainly Itu, very special place, and we're making sure that we craft a deal that really works for both of us. And that's very important. It's a new kind of structure, a deal that hasn't been done before, and that's why we're making sure that it's the right kind of deal.
All right, so busy, man. In fact, you know, the numbers have shot up on the YouTube channel. Thank you so much, guys. It's crazy. Jeez, Jabu, you can see that. So yeah, you can see it. There was talk again. I want to just cut off all the speculation. Mm-hmm. Riaan Amamu, AmaZulu, defender.
Yeah,
you were keen.
Definitely, another top player. You know, again, it's always weird talking about players who belong to other clubs.
Sure,
you know, Rob. But I think he's done tremendously well. I don't think we're the only club who were interested in him. I know that. Pirates also had a look at him, and I think other clubs too. I mean, he was a standout performer for AmaZulu. Got a wealth of experience, obviously international experience. He's a great age. So I think we've had our eye on the top talent in the league, you know, and it's also no coincidence that a lot of names get brought up when it comes to us. But a very good player, and I think he's extended his contract now at AmaZulu. So I want to wish him all the best.
At Chiefs. You're wishing him all the best where?
At AmaZulu.
But you said his contract is done.
No, he's extended.
Extended.
No, but you can extend and still exercise a loan deal.
Yeah, but like again, we, you know, for us to talk and say those kinds of things, this brings destabilization, Rob. You know, we want to respect people at their respective clubs. I mean,
yeah,
I respect Mr. Zungu very much. And, you know, to sit and debate and talk about, you know, his player wouldn't be here.
Terrence Muteta on the YouTube channels posed the question. I think we might have talked about it very glibly early on. It says, does Kaizer Chiefs have a fully dedicated video analyst? Not a 1x2.
What's a 1x2?
Oh, he has that.
Yeah, no, I think without a doubt, you know, our analysis department is very important to us. You know, we have a whole department, not just a 1x2.
Yeah.
You know, it's a... It's integral. I mean, you got your opposition analysis, your own team analysis, analysts that plug into the scouting area. So, no, we pride ourselves on a unit that we have there.
Yeah.
It's still growing, but definitely, I mean, I think we're a big team, Rob, you know. It's a very important area. It's very important to us, yeah.
So, video analyst sorted.
Sorted. Unless he's applying for a job, or maybe. I don't know.
It was just
a question.
I think it's a requirement. Yeah. You know, there's some things that are standard now, you know. And other clubs, other coaches coming into Chiefs struggled with that. You know, there were coaches who came in who didn't believe in analysts and were very old school, which is fine. But this is standard. This is, it needs to be done, you know. And we have that kind of structure, definitely.
All right, talk about structure, guys. As everybody kept talking about Apollos, it brought back a certain Sibongiseni Mthethwa.
Yeah.
Pressure, get comes through. And then now there's word that he's not part of the plans of the coach is moving forward. I think just establish for us, please, where the player stands right now and is he still part of?
Definitely. Ox is a big part of the plans. You know, he's working very hard. He's had a very good preseason. And, you know, it's tough because obviously, you know, we mentioned the name of Apollos.
Mm-hmm.
We signed 10 players last year. You know, a lot of the players that we signed also, you know, our fans were asking for Ox every single day, just like Apollos now. You walk in the street, you go to the garage, it's Ox, it's so-and-so. Then it was Dupriez, then it was Simango. Then it was all the players that we signed, it was the same thing. You know, so I think people need to understand that it's a combination of factors that combine in bringing about perceived success, you know. So player recruitment in isolation is not going to help you achieve your goals. Just having a technical staff without the right ammunition won't help you achieve your goals. And I think if you're not having the right, if you're not leveraging yourself right commercially, it's not going to help you achieve your goals. So it's very much a balance of things. Ox is a part of the team, and any changes that come into the squad at the time they come, then, you know, will be communicated to the public. But, you know, Ox has come inside. He joined us also not from the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're looking forward to a very competitive season. You know, the PSL season is a long season. I'm just excited to see not just Tim, but the whole squad go out there and give their best for the club. You know, I think Ox, but also all the players are really raring to show the people what they can do and to go and fight for the badge and to go and fight for the supporters. That's one thing I want to say. You know, I know sometimes people can see players in isolation as if they're just these commodities and out and social media and insult them. And at the end of the day, no player goes out there to play badly, you know. And I think Ox, for example, and other players, their qualities are there for all to see. You know, and I think he wouldn't be at a team like ours if he didn't have the right qualities. And we're just hoping that this season, him and everyone else can go out there and give their best.
You know, I asked that on the back of, again, reports. And that is why I treasure these conversations, is that you can either dispel those reports, because the reports were saying that the coach had indicated that he was not part of the plans.
So, you know, to be fair to the coaching staff also, they've come in, you know, they've done their due diligence. They've been looking at the squad, doing their squad audit over a period of time. You know, the coach came in, everyone knows exactly the situation, how he came in. He still, you know, he had a cup obligation to fulfill. He's come in, he's getting a sense of the team, getting an understanding of the structure. Also sitting down, looking at not just this transfer window, the next two, three, four transfer windows, five transfer windows to see how do we restructure ourselves, rebalance. So from the technical staff side, they're coming in to hit the ground running, but at the same time to be able to lay the foundation for the longer term success, you know. So he's getting to know his players, the players are getting to know him, the game model is very clear, very demanding. And I know if everyone knows, you know, the technical elements, it takes time to get that synergy, you know. And I think that we need to have the patience, we need to give the coach the space. We need to give the players the support and also the coaching staff the support to be able to implement what they need to, you know. And it's not going to happen in a space of spending time with a team for 2 months. You know, there's many factors, not just technically, but psychologically. Where is the team? How is the institution? There's a lot that goes into providing success. So I think what's important, let's give the coach and the technical staff space. Let's give them patience and let's support the players to be able to give the best, because that's what they're going out to do.
And I think, Rob, one of the things that was important was also to say having a very tight preseason camp in Turkey and taking the team out into a new space and really for the coach and the technical team to really get to know the players. And it takes time. And also, what's really nice about the team right now is also it's got interesting cultural nuances. You know, we've got different cultures and people are getting to know each other. So it's going to be a process. But certainly, we were very deliberate about going to Turkey and making sure that the team could really work and focus on the work that needs to be done.
Yeah. And Rob, on that one there, I mean, there's possibility of squad changes for sure. I mean, we're trying to look and see. I mean, a caller's asked before about some of the younger players and people not getting game time. It's part of the process, you know. Yeah. So as time goes on, even next week, there could be some announcements. There could be some players going on loan. There could be players coming inside. So it's an ongoing process. And I think as things unfold, the people will see exactly who's in the plans, who's not in the plans, and what direction we're taking.
Everyone was raving about Zwane. They were saying, but why isn't this kid getting a chance? You know, because he delivers the magic. Yeah. So whether he forms part of those going on loan or not is another story. You talk about the intensity of the, you know, Turkish camp. It's just that we won't have too much time, but I was tempted to go more into the technical realm of things and say, like all the leagues around the world who started at the usual time in August. You come from an intense, I mean, guys, you guys were posting videos, you know, it almost looked like a boot camp, you know, whatever it used to be called.
Yeah.
So you come from that high, ready for the season, and because you're not in the top eight, you know, you almost now have to bide your time. It's like that balloon that's been expanding, and then that needle, then it deflates again. Then you have to almost regenerate that energy to restart again, because the league season only starts this weekend. I don't know how you've been able to manage, cope with that, because that was high intensity, proper preseason, like a lot of clubs do around the world. But you've now had to bide your time because there was a new sponsor to be announced. Then this, then that, then that. It has a footballing effect.
It does, but we're very lucky, Rob, to have the level of mind and expertise, not just of the technical staff and of course the experience of the coach, but Safi Majdi. I mean, for me, hands down, the best conditioning coach I've ever seen in my life. So his plan, his periodization, how he put it down, was very specific, very calculated. And if you look at it now, we also had quite a few players from last season who had some long-term injuries. So this break has given us a time to condition them in the right way, be able to bring back that sort of return to play protocol where they can, you know, get back to their best. It's a blessing in disguise, but I think we were very blessed to have someone like Safi with us and how he's conducted his periodization and been able to navigate, because it's a very tricky period, we know. Yeah. But I think if you look at it also, it's given us a time to integrate other new signings. You know, we've got quite seven new signings. We've got Blom, we've got Brad, people who just joined now. And it's given us a bit of a space to be able to blood them in. But I think I must put my hands up and say Safi has done a tremendous job and we're very, very privileged to have him with us.
All right, I'm going to plug a couple of the WhatsApp voice notes as we head towards, you know, referee's optional time.
Hi, Prarop. My name is Aaron. My surname is Ntule. Prarop, what is the mandate that was given to Coach Nabi? And was he given a cap on the check or is he having open check? Who is signing these players? Is it the coach or someone else? Thank you.
Good evening, Darops, and also good evening to our sporting director, Mr. Kezam Tonga Chun, as well as marketing director, Jessica Mtaonge. Just want to ask two quick questions. Is the team going to fill the void left by assistant coach Dr. Cruz? And also, are Kaizer Chiefs going to look for an assistant coach for a coach, or are we going to allow the coach to look for his own assistant, considering that he brought his own people to work with? Are we going to allow him to bring his own assistant coach, or are we going to look for the assistant coach that we believe can assist him? And second question is, what is the maximum amount that Kaizer Chiefs is willing to pay when you talk about the transfer fees? Because you remember that we've been accused most of the time for not wanting to pay big amounts by other PSL club. What is the maximum amount that we can pay, or we look at the evaluation of a player, how much he deserves, and then we pay? What is exactly the amount that the club can pay?
Good evening, Prarop, and good evening to Jessica and Kaizer. In the past, we've had a lot of players that were so good, but they were not given minutes. So I don't know if our coaches don't believe in the ball players, because we've had Dumisani Zuma, Mahlasela, Tswala, Ntshangase. You can mention a lot of players that were not given minutes and they were so good. I want to find out from them as Kaizer Chiefs, do they see that, or do they notice that? And if they see that some good players are not given a chance, what are they saying about all this? Thank you, Prarop.
Hi, Kaizer. Guys, I just wanted to ask one question. I think this is coming from most of the Chiefs supporters as well, is that wasn't supposed to be the coach's suggestion, or wasn't the coach supposed to look at Keegan Dolly before you guys let him go? Because I understand that his contract wasn't renewed and that it expired, you understand? So we were all under the impression that, yeah, his contract will be renewed and then you will be getting a lesser offer. Because, I mean, Keegan Dolly is one of our best players and the coach is looking for a left wing now. And he was going to play on the left wing as well. So we just wanted to know, why did you guys decide that? Okay, thank you.
Evening, Rob, and evening to the MSW shareholders, and special greetings to the sporting director and marketing director for Kaizer Chiefs. My question, Rob, is basically, I just want to understand, looking back at the failures of these past seasons, has Kaizer Chiefs as a club done a root cause analysis? Have they really figured out what was happening, what was causing all these things? Because I think from the time that we almost won the league, where we lost it on the last game with Middendorp, there's never been anything positive from the club. We've seen coaches come and go, but even the performances from the players themselves have been inconsistent. It's always the case that we know the history, we know the owner of the club, but what dynamics are there to ensure that the players are always remembering the badge? I think throughout social media we've seen, and from comments from previous players, with how the players are behaving, I think the biggest indicator of it all is that in the current crop of Bafana that is doing so well, we don't have players from Chiefs. So that should be an indicator as to really there's a lot wrong with the club. So have they done a proper analysis to exactly make sure that we don't repeat the same mistakes that have been consistently happening? Thank you, Rob.
Well, thank you so much indeed. All right, those are the final batch of questions. I know that the YouTube channel is still very, very much active. Where do you even start, guys? Let me start off with the... You see, Bafana, there's a new direction, there's a new, you know, sheriff in charge. There's a bronze medal in place from the Africa Cup of Nations in Abidjan. There's AFCON qualification. There's World Cup qualification. It's there. The results are coming through at times, you know. We get a bit scared, but hey, it comes right in the 94th minute. Yeah, you've been blessed, man. You know, when you got a talent like that, you can do anything. You can absolutely do anything. How does it come across to you? Maybe, Jess, let me start off with you. Where, as Usbu was saying, that there's no representation from a Kaizer Chiefs perspective in a national team.
Very important for us to have it. I mean, there was a time we had over-representation. Yeah. I mean, it was nearly the entire team was the Kaizer Chiefs team. So we know it's possible. And it's something I think that we are working very hard to rectify. And I think a lot of, going back to the question of have we done an introspection, there's been a lot of introspection. And we've been deliberate in the decisions that we've made right now. We wouldn't be making the kind of investments or the moves we're making if we haven't been deliberate about it. But certainly something we want to see changing. Seeing ourselves playing on the continent, very, very key, playing competitive football on the continent. But also people forget that we were at the final of the Champions League. It's not like nothing's been done, you know. We lost the league by 30, we lost it in 30 minutes before the league ended. And in the time that we've had, we've won competitions and trophies and things like that in the past. So I think we mustn't also have short memory. Yes, we faced challenges in the past, but certainly we must move forward now, I think, with the renewed energy and more affirmative with where we're going and not looking back at what hasn't happened.
All right, we've reached over 3,000 of you on the YouTube channel. We really appreciate the fact that, you know, you're supposed to be there watching soapies normally at this time or watching something on television. But here you are with us, even everybody else who's part of the team who's pushing, you know, extra time and overtime and so on. So we'll come to Chiefs, you know, to help us with the payment of the overtime. But nonetheless, though, we are where we are. You've budgeted that. I hope so. Please, I really, really hope so. So I'm glad, because you asked about the, you know, root case analysis, whether you, you know, saying post the middle of days when, you know, you lost, as you said, the last 30 minutes of the season. Then there was one about why was Keegan Dolly not renewed? What was the decision? Who took the decision? And saying that, hey, maybe as a player you might need now.
So I think when it comes to all the players that were released and any new signings, I mean, people also criticize us to say, like, why are we leaving it to the time where we had left it, you know? And we'd done that deliberately because we wanted buy-in from the coaching staff. So we are not sitting there short-sighted making decisions that are technical decisions that are uninformed in isolation. The coaching staff gave their feedback. This is not a technical staff that didn't do its homework and wasn't prepared and gave their input on all the individual players whose contracts were up. Not just the players whose contracts were up, but also players that we had within our structure. You know, so that conversation had long started. And I think, if you look at the individuals who left, we thank them for their service. And I think the direction that we're heading into now just needed a different direction with Keegan.
All right, somebody... Yeah, guys, just the messages are coming by so quickly on the YouTube channel that I lost who it's from. But there were a couple of those who were talking about Basadeen.
Yeah.
Is there something deliberate that's happening there?
Again, if you remember Rob's comments, Rob Bernardi, the CEO of Stellenbosch, actually made comments to say that he's just waiting for this transfer window to close because it is so destabilizing. And I can imagine from Staley's perspective, a lot of they testament to them because Staley's do a tremendous job in recruitment. And I mean, it just bears testimony because everyone's talking about Stellenbosch players, you know. So again, a top talent, you know, great to see him in the international fold, other camp. I think got great attributes. And I don't think there's another team in the country that wouldn't want Basadeen. You know, he feels a great certain profile. So, you know, a club of our nature wants to have quality players, Rob. You know, we had discussions with Rob. It's not a secret. We made an offer to Rob before. He made it very clear about the price that he had on Fawaz. And then again, the fact that when we re-engaged again on the price, he made it clear to us that, you know, obviously they also want some stability. You know, they lost Dino to Pirates. They lost Ikram. You know, their aura is gone now on loan. So they also want to be able to keep certain key players. And I think our people need to understand that sometimes, you know, it's a two-way street. Other clubs also want to keep their best players, you know. And
so the door on Basadeen is shut?
The door on all quality players is never shut, Rob.
Also, the Basadeen door is still open?
All doors are open, Rob. We want to reinforce the team as best we can.
So it goes back to what Aaron was asking about earlier on. He says, do you have an open check?
Well, the doors are open, right? And the check only has a certain amount of space. So
it doesn't bounce these days. It's a transfer. It's electronic.
Well, even that gives a certain amount of place for zeros, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, Rob, you know, it's also market related. Everyone puts a value on their product and they're entitled to that, you know. So it's got to make business sense. And like I said, we're just putting our best foot forward to make sure that we try our best to bring the best.
And I think, Rob, we're running a business as well. But at the same time, like I said, we've put in the budget, we've put in the investment. The other thing is you find in certain cases, sometimes we offer more and people still don't take it. So it's not that the check is not there. The check is there, but certainly there has to be a willing part. The other party has to be willing as well. And it has to make business sense as well. You've got to look at it, not just in the short term, but also long term.
I'm glad, though, in the view of over 3K people on the YouTube channel right now and those that are catching us on other different streams, that the door in Pasadena is not shut. I know Keza wants to stray me into other doors that I don't know who's behind those doors, but that particular door, guys, is still open. Then there was talk about, very quickly, having an own assistant coach or having to replace that. And you mentioned who he was talking about there. What is the policy around that?
We must definitely clarify that, Rob. I mean, we've got a top first assistant coach, Ben Khalil.
Yes.
You know, it's not like we don't have an assistant coach. We have someone who's worked very closely with a coach, a top mind, and we're extremely happy to have Ben with us. So I think with that there, the coach is very clear about who he wants in his technical staff. We have a great man like Ben who's assisting the coach, and we're very happy with that.
And I think just to start to wrap it up, guys, boom. Okay, there's a lot here that's going on, so forgive me. I think there was one that was directed at you, Jess. Somebody said, this is PhD review, it says, there is and will always be amongst the greatest. Jessica, you have reached the ceiling at Kaizer Chiefs. You are needed at SAFA for women's football and ultimately CAF. Kaizer Junior, it's your time. So saying that, Kaizer, okay, you carry on what you're doing now, but saying, Jessica, and we've seen you. You've been very visible. You got top positions within CAF. We've seen you also double up at FIFA. And maybe there's an announcement that might be due soon. I don't know. But is Kaizer Chiefs about to lose you officially to a higher office within CAF?
Look, I'll always be part of the Kaizer Chiefs family, you know, but certainly the opportunities to grow are important, and to also impart what I have learned and can offer to the space. I am on the SAFA Women's Football Committee. I'd like to see us be more active. There's a lot more that we can do there, and there's a lot of changes that we need to see there. I'm on the CAF Women's Football Committee. Again, there's a lot of work we need to do there. I'm encouraged by a meeting we just had recently with the CAF president, and we're pushing him for us to be able to do more. Excited to be able to travel on the continent and work with some of the federations and also with FIFA around sharing some of this, the marketing stuff that I've done. And certainly proud to be the vice president of the ACA. Mm-hmm. Again, I'd like to be able to do more in that space and see it funded a lot more and be able to really find a host country for us to be able to have a base and be able to work closely on club football and building African leagues, because coming from a league like South Africa, I think there's a lot that I can share and offer. So obviously growth is important to me, and I'm hoping that there will be growth for me on the continent and internationally.
That is good news. And I think for a lot of people who are not aware, that is something to really celebrate, because you've been very visible. And I think it's been very intentional, the fact that you're being a part of and your utilization within those structures, both here at the association and also at CAF and ultimately FIFA, is something that I think the continent will benefit from. So long may that continue. Please.
No, I appreciate
you represent a lot of people.
I appreciate that, but it is challenging. You know, the structures don't move sometimes. And when you come from a space like club football, which is very nimble and we get things done, it's difficult. You know, when you have a women's committee that has only met twice in 2 years, it's kind of frustrating. But we're pushing those barriers, trying to share and engage with people and talk to other women on the game, around the women's game, because I think that's important. There's a lot I'm learning also in terms of what can be done in women's football. But I think for me, just the continental space and what can be done just in men, women, and with kids and youngsters is incredible. And I'm also hoping to see, and it's great to see other administrators like Lux and other people coming out of South Africa. South Africa has good administrators, and to see some of them coming into the continent and working alongside Senzo, you know. We had Jermaine Craig, who unfortunately left us. So there are quite a few of us who are trying to get into the continent and really share our experience. And I'm encouraging people to do that. I'd like to see other people from other clubs from South Africa, because we have a very good base and there's a lot we can share.
All right. This is dangerous extra time we are in.
Match commissioner.
Match commissioner is going to be
he's
fired.
Relaxed, he's
enjoying this the most. Hey? So I've talked about progression with Jessica. A lot of South African, the word... So we talk about next generation, right? So who gets to run this entity? You know, the Ackermans were there, Pick and Pay, you know, for many, many years. And that legacy still continues. And I would imagine the same would happen for Kaizer Chiefs. So succession plan for that. Is there a plan for one day Kaizer Senior says, guys, you know what, I just want to go chill now. I've done the best I can. I want to enjoy the games. Full HD, at home. The next chairman will be who of Kaizer Chiefs?
So I think the plan is already in place. And I think the day when the chairman says he's going to go and chill, I don't know if that day will ever arrive. The chairman is still strong and visionary as ever. And I think the organization itself has a plan, Rob.
Sure.
What's important from our side right now is, given exactly where the club is right now, is to focus on our immediate term. And that's turning things around, laying the right foundations. I think that we have got a lot of other stakeholders. We've got a lot of great influential board members who have a role to play. And I think as time goes on, the direction the team will take will be evident. And I think the big, big, big question for us right now is to begin to turn around the technical aspect, bring success back in the field, complement the great work that's been done on the commercial and marketing side, and lay the foundation for the future.
So what you're reassuring, though, the fans, I think both of you, because you all fall into the same realm, is that there has been, again, an intentional conversation, because there's got to be a legacy continuation and not a shutdown immediately, because the club is going to be knocking on, 60 years pretty soon?
55.
Well, we turned 55 in January. And I mean, the chairman is turning 80this year in October. Sure. And I look forward to our supporters really just celebrating him. But it's important for us to, like Kaizer says, focus on the turnaround and make sure that things are right while he's with us. And I think that's very important. Mm. But certainly the vision is for this club to be multi-generational. That's very important. And to make sure that it's strong in South Africa and across the continent and the world.
Jessica Mdong, thank you so much indeed for your time. I really appreciate it. I think Jabu, it's an informal thing. What did they leave out?
No, Jabu, I think what's important and I think is key for me is to say, first of all, well done to the PSL and in getting a sponsor like Betway and making sure that the league is thriving and growing. We're looking for innovations. One of the things that we want to encourage our supporters to do is buy tickets. One thing we've put on the market is season tickets. It's our second year of season tickets. We're encouraging supporters to go out and get their season tickets. But also, let's support South African football. You know, we have a unique model, Robert, in that I'm just coming from the UK, that supporters fill stadiums not because of a region. You know, our supporters travel and go to even away games. You know, for us, it's in our interests. We support away games because we want our supporters to go there. It's also commercially viable for other clubs, you know, sustainable for them. So we're saying to supporters, go out, buy your season tickets, buy your tickets to the game, and really support all the games and make sure that South African football takes its rightful place on the continent as one that's well commercially driven and also well supported. So thank you to you, Rob. It's been a great discussion, and I've enjoyed it, man. It's been lovely being here.
I think a lot of people have appreciated it. I mean, I'm just glancing through, was like, you got a multitask when you're sitting here in this cockpit. But a lot of them, you know, Jabu will bear testament to this because he's also monitoring on the YouTube channel the many comments that people are saying. And they're saying that, you know, they're just enthralled. They're listening, they're attentive, they're posing questions, but they are appreciating the time and the moment and the depth of information that is coming through. And they're saying, long may that continue. you know, it doesn't have to be here. It can be on any platform. I'm just saying that this is what South Africans need, an opportunity to engage. And when you're engaging with the top of management of a football team, hey, guys, you know, it's one thing to be a supporter. It's one thing to be a supporter. And this is what gives people that ability to breathe and anticipate a great season ahead. Maybe, respectfully, your last word.
I just want to say, again, I think what's important is just to say, Amakhosi, can they come through, support the team? We're together. You know, I think that from the player's perspective, looking at the camp, looking at training, how they've navigated this period, they're raring to go, really raring to go. And I think that they're going to be going out there to give every single last drop of sweat for the badge and for the people. I think they're very aware of the task at hand and the challenge that faces them. And I think just want to wish also all the Makosi faithful all the best. We are so excited to see them. I mean, we've been playing friendly matches behind closed doors in that FNB at the moment in time. And, you know, you're looking at it in seats, you're just imagining, you know, when are the people going to be in? So we've missed them. We really have missed them. We really want to connect with them. And I think it's going to be an amazing start now going down to Bloem. We know and anticipate that they're going to come out there in their thousands, and just looking forward to seeing them.
There were a gazillion other questions, guys. I know I couldn't get through, but forgive me. We did the best we could.
We'll be back.
You know, so yeah, we tried as wide a spectrum as we possibly can. Jessica, Kaiser, thank you very, very much, guys. We don't take this for granted. Catch you again soon.
Thank you.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide,
the chairman of the club, Baroka FC, Christian Patlala.
You know what, as much as Mr. No-Nonsense guy, but now I think now what he's telling us, I don't want to use the word, but no, man, you need to take us serious, man. Baroka is a beautiful team. We love it in the Limpopo region. We want that team to come back to the PSF. My heart gets, I'm hurt now with listening to the chairman.
There are a lot of fans. Sometimes you might not realize how loved your club is.
I don't want to rush to sign a coach who's not going to satisfy. I've got someone coming. He's only going to come here in November. And that's someone is